Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What are the best games, in theory, on paper, in the newly released NFL schedule? Here we are, poring over it. I actually have not looked at all of the schedules for every team because that's way too many games for me to cram into my brain. But it's been fun to highlight some of the primetime games and to think about the teams who've made big moves so far in the offseason, even pre-draft, which comes up next week. I asked this question on Twitter. I guess it was Wednesday afternoon when I woke up. How many mock drafts is too many mock drafts? And the responses I got, you cracked me up. Yeah, I'm over the mock drafts at this point. I can't stomach anymore. Just get to the draft, for heaven's sakes. And I actually have a really cool announcement to share. I guess we'll call it an announcement. I hesitate to use that word because it makes it sound like it's something really special. I don't know if it will be special or not, but I hope that you'll tune in. Coming up on draft night, which is next Thursday, instead of hosting After Hours, I will be co-hosting a draft show starting at 8 o'clock Eastern and running until midnight Eastern. So beginning at 5 Pacific, running until 9 p.m. Pacific time. And you'll have to figure out the time zones in between. But I'll be co-hosting with Mark Melusis, who is part of our CBS Sports Radio morning show. So the two of us will be doing the show during the draft next Thursday evening. So I'm looking forward to that. It's not something I've ever done before. And Mark and I, Moose, as he's known to many listeners, Moose and I have never done a show together either. So that should be a lot of fun. In fact, I'm trying to remember the last time I did a show with a co-host. Gosh. I think it was going back to my previous network. We would do the V Foundation auction every summer on ESPN Radio. And so Freddie Coleman and I used to sit together for those 6 hours and do a show together in which we tried to raise money and awareness for various V Foundation causes, but also cancer research and cancer awareness as a whole. And those were always really emotional shows. My favorite show of the year, as a matter of fact. But I haven't done a lot of co-hosting in years. I guess, again, doing specialty shows, Sunday NFL broadcast, but for the most part, I've been a solo host for the better part of the last decade. And so this will be fun with Mark Melusis on draft night. You'll be able to catch us here on the show, here on the network, between 8 and midnight Eastern, which is 5 and 9 Pacific time. Fun new challenge coming up, but I'm seriously ready to just get to the draft. It's time. There's been too much run up to it. It's even worse than the 2 weeks leading up to the Super Bowl where it's nonstop preview. I can't take any more mock drafts. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. We're inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. So we're asking you the best NFL games that pop out from the newly released schedule. So on Twitter, A-Law Radio, on our Facebook page as well. Now on our Facebook page, there's a photo of week number one. We're not asking you, I think some of you misunderstood. We're not asking you the best game on the week one schedule. We're asking you overall, if you've had a chance to look at the schedule, or even if it's just your own team's schedule, what are the games that you are geeked up about? So that's either Twitter or Facebook, and our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Now, you know, there's been some news in the NFL as well, and so we wanted to take you to Seattle where it's official with Russell Wilson.
You're the colonel. You're going to command your troops tonight. You understand?
Have
the off-season blues?
Blake Bortles delivers to his tight end.
Mariota drop, fires downfield. It's caught to the five, to the end zone. Oh, my goodness.
How about the Hail Mary from Winston?
He's to the five. He's in for the touchdown.
What a play by Manning.
Rodgers.
In the end zone.
Time for QB News on After Hours.
He is now the highest paid player in NFL history with the extension he just signed to keep Russell Wilson in Seattle through 2023. At 30 years old, this guy will make $140 million if he plays out the life of the extension as it is, a $65 million guaranteed signing bonus. So if you're wondering about the annual numbers, it's an average annual salary of $35 million. But you know what? That coincides perfectly with the 35 touchdown passes he threw in 2018 against a career-low 7 interceptions. And so he's coming off what may be the best year of his career statistics-wise. Of course, he is a Super Bowl-winning quarterback with a bunch of Pro Bowl appearances on his resume as well. And with all of the turnover and then transition in Seattle, the Seahawks were sure this was one piece that they could not afford to lose. And as usual, Pete Carroll is gushing.
It's such a big day for us to look ahead. Based on the great history that we've had and playing together, coaching together, and working together, to know that we get another whole episode for our fans and for the 12s and for the organization and for Russell and his family, too. This is a really exciting day for us, and we're really proud of it.
Speaking of Russell and his family, at least his wife, they were the ones who announced this record-setting contract in the wee hours of the night. They were laying in bed, and they looked really sleepy. They sounded really sleepy. But Russell was filming a video of he and his wife, Sierra, and just talking about how they were going to be in Seattle for the long term, the long haul. They were so thankful to finally have this done. Now, even as Pete Carroll calls this a huge day for the franchise, a monumental day for the franchise, recognizing that they keep this pivotal position stable and secure. And that's so important in the NFL, right? Because quarterback is the most important position on the field. But to have stability means you are one step ahead of all those teams who cannot find a solid, starting, consistent quarterback. It's the biggest challenge of any NFL front office. And so it's the devil you know, the devil you don't know. When you have a quarterback, maybe you're unsure. Maybe you think the grass could be greener on the other side. It's not always. The cupboard is relatively bare when it comes to elite, above average starting quarterbacks. And Russell Wilson is one of those. So Pete Carroll calling it monumental. Well, that's the same way that Russell Wilson feels, having not just Pete Carroll, but also having the front office on his side as they sign this new deal.
First of all, it's exciting to be here. You know, for John, you know, and Pete, you know, you're the ones that, you know, had the courage to take me. You know, you guys took me. You decided to choose a guy 5'10" and some change.
5'11", come on,
almost. You know, out of Richmond, Virginia, where everybody told me I wouldn't do it, and I VA. Dwayne Brown in the back, right? and so just to be here and just to work through every moment, every obstacle, you know, I thank God first. You know, I thank this organization. You know, Paul, even though he's not here, his presence is really here. Just the building, the facilities, everything that he's been able to, you know, award us in terms of this opportunity to have great coaches, have a great staff and have great executives and everything else.
He refers to the two guys up there on the podium with him. Pete Carroll, of course, is the head coach, and then John Schneider, who is the general manager of the Seahawks. And you may have scoffed at the idea of them imposing a deadline and Russell Wilson imposing this deadline that seemed pretty arbitrary. But the fact is, it's done. It's in the rearview mirror, and they don't have to worry about Russell Wilson or about the negotiations, anything like that now. Instead, they can focus on guys like Bobby Wagner and Frank Clark and what they do with them moving forward. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Sometimes I can be a bit skeptical, maybe even cynical, when I hear someone say they want to be a member of a particular organization for life. But I do like the fact that Russell Wilson has a full no-trade clause in his new contract.
You know, really, from the beginning of my professional career, started here, and my goal was to end it here. My goal is to have a lasting impression on this city, is to be able to make a lot of people's, lives cheer at the top of their lungs, you know, and win a lot of football games and hopefully win a lot of Super Bowls. And I can't do it without you two guys next to me. I couldn't do it without you guys believing in me. I couldn't do it without my teammates making the difference. And so I'm just grateful for this opportunity. And when it came down to it, it was a no-brainer for me to want to be here in Seattle. And, you know, I want to be a Seahawk for life. So that was kind of my mentality. And
Russell Wilson getting it done with the Seattle Seahawks. And while this doesn't take him through, at least you wouldn't think it would take him through the bulk of his career, if there's more success there, I think he's starting to get to that point at which we have already seen Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers get to, which is you have the option of deciding when you go out. Ben Roethlisberger as well. These are quarterbacks that we know who will remain with their organizations. Well, we don't know anything to be sure, so let me rephrase. We are fairly confident. We believe that these franchises will allow them to decide when they go out. For everything they've meant to their teams to this point, well, they get to decide how they leave, how they exit. It has to be on their terms, and I think Russell Wilson is getting to that point. Now, there's always a chance that a franchise realizes they've got to move on. They've got to make a choice, turn their attention to the next quarterback. And I think that's kind of the area where the New York Giants are stuck right now. But they have decided that they're going to, no matter how much it may appear as though Eli Manning is not the right fit for them anymore, that he's not the guy who can take them back to the playoffs or to the next level, they've chosen to allow him to finish out at least the current contract and potentially his career with the New York Giants because he doesn't want to go anywhere else, and he's made that very clear. I'm not sure if we're talking about Kobe Bryant territory here, where the Lakers essentially threw away several seasons because they were not going to force Kobe Bryant out. They weren't going to terminate his tenure with the franchise until he decided that he was ready to retire and walk away. There are some athletes for whom franchises will make that sacrifice because of everything they've meant during the course of their careers. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line if you want to weigh in about your team's schedule for the upcoming season. And I know this is not really QB news, but since we just finished up here, I want to tack this on. Do you know that Tom Brady joined Twitter? Many of you may know that he had already had Instagram, and he's been big on Facebook. But on, I don't know that it was April 1st. I believe it may have been pretty close to April 1st. It might, in fact, have been his April Fool's joke that he tweeted he was retiring. And so he kind of introduced himself to the Twitter sphere that way. And since then, he's been pretty active. The man has a lot to say. He has jokes for days. And so, similar to Phil Mickelson, I would encourage you to check out Tom Brady's Twitter because it's a side of him that you don't often see. I mean, you see it more than you see the humorous side of Bill Belichick. But this guy has many quips that he would like to share with you on his social media. He does enjoy social media. He likes to drop in here and there. So I just saw this from a couple of days ago, and I thought I would pass it along. April 16th. Which was Tuesday, was Bill Belichick's 67th birthday. And Brady tweeted this, "Happy birthday, coach. He'll definitely see this, ... Big social media guy, ... I love his sense of humor. And it's good to see the other side of these guys. And honestly, the way that Antonio Brown and Odell Beckham Jr. used social media this offseason, it left a bad taste. I don't want athletes to embarrass themselves on social media. And I feel like sometimes it goes way too far. And I'm not saying Tom Brady is the only guy who's really good at it. J.J. Watt's good at social media, too. I'm trying to think of other guys that I really enjoy on social media. I think Baker Mayfield is fun on social media as well. So far, using it the right way. Right way. That makes it sound like my way is the only way. There are just times when I feel like athletes and public figures, just they forget that what you put out there on social media is going to be out there for life, and that not everything you think and feel needs to be expressed on social media. In fact, that's exactly what Antonio Brown said before he went after Juju Smith-Schuster. Keep your emotions off social media. That's how that whole thread got started a week and a half ago, and it just it blew up after that. So I like the humor. I like the jokes. I like the sarcasm. That kind of stuff appeals to me, to be sure. And so at this point, even though Brady's tweeted a couple dozen times, he definitely does have a flair for it. He likes to make people laugh. I guess it's good to be Tom Brady, right? So you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. You can also find us on Facebook. What are the games on the NFL schedule that have got you geeked up, even though it's only April? And we'll take your calls, too. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Some good news for fans of Jeopardy, but mostly good news for longtime host Alex Trebek. Actually says he is feeling good and is already thinking about returning for next season on this incredibly long-running game show. 35 seasons in the books now. Final day of filming was Wednesday, and he just gave his fans an update on his battle with stage 4 pancreatic cancer. You may remember that he revealed last month in a YouTube video that he'd been diagnosed with stage 4 cancer, and that he was determined to fight it, and that he was planning on working through the length of his Jeopardy contract, which I think is for the next 3 years. And then there were some reports that Jeopardy had started looking for his replacement. Well, he said in another YouTube video on Wednesday, despite what you may have heard, I'm feeling good and I'm continuing with my therapy. And he says that he's already preparing for season 36 of Jeopardy. Quote, I look forward to seeing you again in September with all kinds of good stuff. And he also was very kind and gracious in thanking fans for their support and encouragement. And no doubt it's been overwhelming. I mean, when his announcement came out, the traffic that it got on social media, because he's such a well-known figure and so beloved, and he says that there have been a lot of young people who've sent him cards and notes and letters. And that appealed to me, I think, because very often we think of the current generation as one that doesn't handwrite letters or cards or use the U.S. mail anymore. Instead, it's about text. It's about acronyms. It's about tweets. It's about trying to summarize all of your feelings in, 200 characters or fewer. But instead, he says that there have been a lot of young people who've sent him cards to let them know that they're praying for him and supporting him. And so he's planning for the future, which to me is the type of spirit and the type of attitude that will keep him going and will help him in what is a challenging fight, to say the least. He's been the host of Jeopardy since 1984. So regardless of when you grew up, whether you are someone who was alive as an adult in the 80s or a kid or an adult in the 80s to be able to see this Jeopardy phenomenon, or if you're much younger than that, maybe you remember your parents watching it or your grandparents watching it. My grandma was a huge fan of Jeopardy, and that's how I was introduced to it. Because every evening when I would hang out with my grandparents, it would start with Jeopardy. That was kind of the beginning of the evening. And I know my 97-year-old grandmother, she still watches Jeopardy. It's been a fabric of her life for the last 30-something years. So Alex Trebek is a household name, even more popular or well-known than a guy like a Tom Brady or a LeBron James. Believe it or not, there are a lot of people out there who would know Alex Trebek but wouldn't know Tom Brady. It's kind of crazy, but I promise you it is the truth. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. On our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, you can weigh in about our latest poll or our latest NFL schedule question. And a lot of you are pouring in your answers on our Facebook page, too. I very rarely can keep up with Facebook, and so it takes some time in the afternoons when I wake up to kind of wade through all of your answers, and some of them I do delete. They're inappropriate, they're rude, or they have nothing to do with the actual question that we've asked. So we try to keep a handle on the Facebook page since it has my name on it and CBS Sports Radio's name on it. But you guys do a real good job of weighing in and answering our questions. 855-212-4227. It's our toll-free line brought to you by Geico. With a quick way you can save money, switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. Let's talk to Chris, who's in California. Welcome to After Hours.
How you doing this morning?
I'm good, thank you.
Hey, the game that I want to watch, especially, you know, since I got hyped up last year and things fell off, is I want to see the Browns come out of Santa Clara, and I want to see our hyped-up Niners defense destroy Odell Beckham, destroy Baker Mayfield, destroy all the Browns.
And by destroy, you just mean beat them on the field, not destroy them physically. Right? We're not talking about destroy and dominate here. like a video game.
Aspects of the game. And the one person I think that's going to have to be step up, I think we'll have a big game. And I'll call back later if it happens. I think Uncle Sherm's going to have a big game if he can stay healthy all this year.
Yeah, that's really important for him, is to stay healthy. And I think the 49ers are going to address their defense in the draft, too. But as much as a lot of the attention was on the offense, losing Jimmy Garoppolo, and the fact that they never really got started, that defense definitely needs some attention. So I'm looking forward to seeing them make strides, but also to seeing Garoppolo stay out there on the field for a full season. He's definitely had some injuries, though the ACL was a fluke, the way he stepped, just trying to get an extra half yard before he would run out of bounds. Maybe learning his lesson now, just get out of bounds. Don't worry about the half yard. You can make it up on the next play.
Right, right. Yeah, so, you know, a big thing with Garoppolo is not just staying healthy, it's just being himself. Don't try to be Tom Brady. Don't try to be anyone else. Just do what you do and make it happen. Because I think with the Niners, we have talent and we have good system around. And I think, like you're saying, I think we did address our defensive needs, especially at linebacker. And that was a big – we had so many losses. I mean, we had people leave early. We had to get rid of people. I mean, it's been tough.
Yeah, well, the stability should be there now as we talk about Kyle Shanahan in his third year. Again, it so much depends on if their quarterback can stay healthy, but he's had time now to establish his system, try to establish a culture and a philosophy. And for him, it was his first time as a head coach in the NFL. So there's a growing period, kind of a growing pains in that respect as well. But yeah, you would expect that if he sticks around, if the Niners buy in, that they should start to see that consistency grow.
Yeah, I mean, well, the consistency, it's more or less just getting people to make plays. I'm tired of us seeing some of these older guys, you know, like Pierre Garçon, stuff like that. There's a lot of young little talent. Hopefully we nab one of these wide receivers on the back end of the first round or early second round pick, and I think we'll be solid.
All right, Chris. Well, I'm glad you're excited. Thanks so much for your phone call.
Have a good night. Thank you.
That game against the Cleveland Browns, we talked about it, but it's a Monday Night Football game in Santa Clara. So the Niners will be hosting the Browns. And it would be cool to see not just Baker Mayfield and the weapons that the Browns have accumulated, but a healthy Jimmy Garoppolo. I wouldn't say it's a difficult start to the season for the Browns, though they do have the Rams in week 3, but that's the game on Sunday Night Football that Cleveland will host. It's their first time with a Sunday Night Football game in Cleveland in 11 years. But they start out with the Titans and the Jets. Then they've got the Rams at home. But then you could start to see where the difficulty is, kind of in the bulk of September and October. So they go Rams on the road at the Ravens. Then they're on the road at San Francisco, back to Cleveland for a game against the Seahawks before they take their bye. So this is really nice. They have their bye before they go to New England and then Denver in back-to-back weeks. So at the Patriots and at the Broncos in back-to-back weeks, but they do have the week off in between. So that stretch could tell us a lot about these new-look Cleveland Browns. And when they face adversity, one of two things happens. You either buck up, little campers, and you come together and you figure out a way to get through it and you listen to your leadership and you stick together, or the opposite. Losing sometimes or adversity can shine a really harsh spotlight on the, you know, fractions in your locker room. And so winning is a cure-all, but sometimes when you're not winning or when things are difficult, that's when your team can really come together, and it prepares you for potential postseason as well. All right, on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence, one of the best games on the NFL schedule. And straight ahead, we'll dive back into the games that are in season right now. So Major League Baseball with a very impressive streak coming to an end on the diamond. And also the woes of the World Series champs continue.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
And a fly ball to left center field. So ends the slump in a very big way. A three-run home run for A.J. Pollock, his second of the year. The Reds decide to intentionally walk Bellinger, but Pollock makes them pay. It's 3-0.
Here's a drive down the left field line toward the corner. Goodbye! Yandy Diaz with his fourth home run of the season as G-Man Choi and Yandy Diaz go back-to-back. It's now 6-0 Rays.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Coast to coast, there's plenty happening in Major League Baseball, a sport that's actually in season. Here we are spending so much time talking about the NFL and its schedule release and the NFL draft that comes up a week from Thursday. But yes, Major League Baseball's got its own fair share of drama in April. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. First, the Dodgers tying a Major League Baseball record with their consecutive games at home featuring home runs. I know it's a long way to say that they connect with balls. They hit them out of the park at Chavez Ravine. No team in baseball history has ever homered in more consecutive home games than the Dodgers. And Charlie Steiner with the call of a massive A.J. Pollock three-run home run, sixth inning against the Cincinnati Reds. And so they only had the one home run. In fact, that was all the runs they needed to beat Cincinnati. It was a scoreless game at that point when Pollock connected on a ball that was thrown by Sonny Gray. But the Dodgers have now homered in every regular season game at home since last August 21st. And here they are with 13 straight home games to start the year in which they have dazzled their fans in Southern California. I have a feeling these home run records are going to continue. We talked about the Seattle Mariners, whose streak, by the way, just came to an end on Wednesday. So they homered in 20 consecutive games to start a season, which is a new baseball mark. The Dodgers continue to hit home runs with alacrity. We know that that is just the standard in Major League Baseball now. And so the Dodgers have moved to 12-8, and they are a lot of fun to watch. I mean, they've got some good young talent, even without Yasiel Puig, who's now playing for the Reds. They've just got guys that they can bring up in bunches. In fact, they have a bunch of different young players that they have to rotate in. They can't get them all into games, but they try to nurture and grow that young talent. And then you've got the Tampa Bay Rays. So Dave Wills on the Rays Radio Network, the best record in Major League Baseball. And they used, well, they used a game against the Orioles, as well as plenty of home runs on their own to be able to pad that record. It's kind of cool, the early season records and the teams that get out to a fast pace, though you may have forgotten that last year the Rays were a pleasant surprise. With, what was it, 90 wins last year? 90 wins last year, and so they follow that up with the best mark to start the season now, and here we are in mid-April. The Houston Astros finally saw their winning streak come to an end, so they lost on Wednesday, but they had won 10 consecutive games before that. The Mariners, by the way, as I was talking about the Mariners and their home runs, after starting out 13-2, they've now dropped 6 consecutive games. So the ebbs and flows of a Major League Baseball season that stretches from now until the end of September, just the regular season alone with its 162 games. But it's kind of fun to think about the possibilities, because anything can and will happen, which is why when people ask me, should I be worried about the World Series champion, I tell them, no, it's April. And I get it. They are now 8.5 games behind the Tampa Bay Rays. They continue to struggle in terms of their starting pitching. We talked about this on last night's show, that their starting rotation ERA is the highest it's been in history to begin a season. It's never been this high. Through at that point, it was, 18 games? Through Tuesday night's games, which included the first of their series with the Yankees this season. And of course, another Chris Sale blow-up game. Now, Nathan Eovaldi was good. He didn't give up any earned runs in his 6 innings pitched. But it was the bullpen that couldn't hold a lead against New York in the Bronx on Wednesday. And so, however the Red Sox are losing, the entire pitching staff right now is a major blight. But they also can't seem to string together enough innings to really grab some momentum. However it is, whether they run into a James Paxton who tosses 8 shutout innings against them in that first Yankees game, or whether it's a late inning home run, whatever it is, the Red Sox just keep taking punches.
And the right-hander deals.
Swung on, driven to deep right. It is high, it is far, it is gone. It's a grand slam. Let the Gardy party begin. Brett Gardner plants one in the right field seats. It is a grand salami. And the Yankees, down 3-1, now take a 5-3 lead.
It was a massive blow by one of the longtime Yankees and Brett Gardner, John Sterling, on the Yankees radio network. Gardner still batting first, so he bats lead off, and he's still out there in center field. He still exhibits a ton of speed. And I like the fact that he brings a presence, and he brings a connection to Yankees winning teams of the past. And he has this big grand slam, and it was a stunner against Boston. And it comes off of Brandon Workman, so their bullpen after Eovaldi had done all of that work, And the Yankees, even though they are below 500, they've used these 2 games against the Red Sox to kind of grab some momentum of their own. It just comes back to the pitching. And we had thought going into the season, in fact, regardless of who you talk to, who you listen to, that covered the start of the Major League Baseball year, and even going back to free agency, the Red Sox didn't address the holes left in their bullpen after winning the World Series. And so there is no surprise that the back end of their pitching rotation is struggling. That's not a surprise. What's a surprise has been the major holes in their starting rotation, but here's your issue. And it played out in nightmare fashion for the Red Sox on Wednesday. You get a great start from, finally, one of the guys who's out there to begin a game in Eovaldi. 6 innings, only 1 run, it wasn't earned. But then your bullpen blows up. I believe the World Series champs are going to have to make some moves and address these holes. Because once your starting rotation clicks into a groove, which I believe it will, these are accomplished pitchers. You wouldn't expect that Chris Sale is going to lose every single game that he starts this year. But they're going to have to address the bullpen. And I know there have been some unpopular moves, for instance, the Blake Swihart DFA designated for assignment. The Red Sox, I think, right now scrambling a little bit, though Alex Cora continues to say, it's April, we'll get it together. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. It's kind of interesting, though, to think about this series, which is one of the best rivalries in baseball and certainly one of the most scintillating in sports. And they meet 19 times a year, as teams do in division. But how one team can be... they both came into it desperately needing some wins. And for the Yankees, their issue is completely different. They've got, a dozen players on the... I keep wanting to say the DL. It's now the IL. It's very awkward for me. They've got a dozen different guys that are injured and out right now. And so the lineup they're putting on the field... If you're a casual fan, not a fan of the Yankees, you could maybe recognize 1 or 2 of the names. There's not very many there that you're going to know. Okay, maybe more than that. But the idea is that they're having to use a bunch of of guys that never were supposed to be regulars. Not at this point, anyway. But their pitching's been good. And so the Yankees are using this series against the Red Sox, who are relatively healthy. I mean, this is almost the exact same lineup that they used to win the World Series a year ago. Just at this point, they don't have any kind of consistency. So the Yankees are playing with a, I don't want to call them band of misfits, but you get the idea. They're holding it together with duct tape right now. And yet they're using a series against the Red Sox to be able to grab some momentum and maybe build their confidence a little bit. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Let's talk to Jimmy, who's in Manhattan. Welcome.
Hi. I love your show, Amy.
Thank you.
I hate to digress here, but I'm really sorry about Alex Trebek. I had stage 4 cancer, and it's a tough thing, but I hope he does well. Mm-hmm. Also, I think the Giants will get Tua next year. They're going to wait for him.
They're going to wait for him? So yes, tanking is what you're saying.
They'll wait one year and get him somehow, some way. There's no doubt in my mind. And Yankees all the way.
Well, they got to get above 500 first and get healthy. That could also be helpful. But there's a long way to go. Certainly, they have plenty of time to round into form. I don't know if I believe that in the NFL you're going to have a team. I mean, I get it. They will need a quarterback for the future. But I don't know if you're going to have a team that's as proud a franchise as the Giants literally waste an entire season. I don't think that that's the idea. You can rebuild without tanking. Definitely they want to get younger, and they're trying to figure out what to do with these draft picks. But tanking with the hopes that you'll have the pick that will lead you to a particular player, to me, seems like a very large gamble and a waste of a season.
I can see a next Kenny Stabler in a Giants future.
I have no idea. I mean, these are kids. These are kids that sometimes pan out and sometimes don't. But I do agree with you. They need their next quarterback. They need to turn now in a different direction and figure out what they're going to do with that position that's so important. Jimmy, thank you for listening. I'm glad to hear from you.
My pleasure. Good talking to you.
You too. 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line. And you can always use it. We've got hoops and hockey postseason coming up. A couple of series that are 2-0 in the NBA, though the Rockets, the Celtics, the Bucks taking different paths to get to that point. We had overtime with some fantastic calls in Colorado. My favorite call of the week, maybe. And boy, talk about stealing victory from the jaws of defeat for the Avalanche. It's coming up after our CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.